B-Pod Studios.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
It's 12 o'clock across the Delaware Valley. You're listening to 97.5 The Fanatic, WPEN, Burlington, Philadelphia, broadcasting from the Xfinity Studios, only from Comcast. We're at Beasley Media Group Station.
What up?
We got basketball tonight. That's great. All right? We got to watch. I need to know who's in tonight. Are we doing a communal watch tonight? Bringing back hoops and hockey and the whole thing.
What shore point do we have?
Well,
I watch on the beach.
I was more talking virtual, but
yes,
you know,
if you I can't wait.
If you want to take me to the beach, I'm in.
I'll call my parents.
I've not been to the beach yet.
Yeah, that's, we gotta get you down there. That's a shame.
I love it. I love it. I haven't been down yet.
I spent the last couple of weekends. I've been down there.
Well, you got
get some color.
You know, I get color, but I get no sand. I can use some sand.
You know what I did last weekend?
Watch
for the
Flyers. And I would love. So real quick, I'm sorry to interrupt.
That's all right.
Real quick, the one of my fondest memories is there was a beach bar in L.A. I forget what beach it's Mission Beach. No, not San Diego. Anyway, there's this beach bar called Harry O's, Andrew, and it's a hockey bar. I don't even know if it exists anymore. It was a hockey bar, and the Flyers were in the playoffs, and I was in L.A. doing something, covering something, and I had the greatest night where it's on the beach, so you're right there on this beach bar, and you know it's L.A., so it's early, right? So it's like 3 o'clock. I had a day to burn, whatever it was. So it had to be about, you know, 4 o'clock, because probably 7:30 start. And I'm at this Harry O's watching Flyers.
That's awesome.
It was June. It was, you know, it's warm. You're on the beach, Pacific Ocean, and I'm watching Flyers hockey. Oh my God. It doesn't get better. It doesn't get better.
You're sipping a cocktail.
Yeah, and I think back to that moment, and I go, I don't know, I should have just been a beach bum, man. Just, you know.
Yes.
Go bartend and hang on the beach. That's great life.
Yeah, you know, during the summer, they're making a ton of money, too.
That Harry O's was a hockey bar.
Yeah, it's pretty.
In Southern California.
That's pretty awesome.
Man, dude, it was awesome watching little Flyers. So, Are we making it a must watch tonight? Are we must watching it? You put the edict down?
If you're a sports fan and you've been clamoring for sports to come back, it's an absolute must watch. Absolutely.
Because I'm getting a lot of pushback.
No. If you were clamoring for sports, I'm sure your same friends that are kind of anti-NBA are pro sports returning. And because we were all hopeful for sports to return.
Oh, I got Sammy Sags says he's out.
Yeah,
man.
Come on, Sammy Sags. You got tip off at 6:30. You got to be watching.
I think so.
I say 6:30 is must watch, but 9 o'clock, no doubter, must watch.
Well, 9 o'clock is the that's the perfect one.
I get it. People are going to say, oh, well, I got to go to bed. All right, well, then you got to watch 6:30.
I can't wait to watch the Lakers and Clippers tonight.
Oh, yeah, big time. Now, here's the problem. I'm trying to cleanse this week. I did a lot of drinking down the shore last weekend.
Yeah, well, you don't need to watch. You need to drink while you watch games. I don't need that. I can watch sit there with a bottle
of
water.
I mean, it's not like a beer in your hand watching hoops.
Yeah, listen, I love my beer, but I mean, I don't matter. Like, I can sit there and watch any game. Just give me a bottle of water.
That's nice.
And I'm in.
Nah, there's beer in the hand. It's like I'm at the stadium, at the arena, wherever.
All right. Let me ask you, because we talked with Mike Garofalo on a variety of subjects involving the NFL. So, A, the global piece. Did you get any sense of competency from the NFL?
Absolutely not. I mean,
unlike Major League Baseball?
Mike even said that the discussion about a bubble was like, yeah, they discussed it, but it was never really serious. That's not good.
Universally, can I ask you a question about this idea of the bubble and people being away from their families? Like, I understand that's a real deal, and nobody wants to be away from their families. But, and maybe I'm a little old school, but people travel a lot, right?
For work, yeah.
Like, guys have to go and make a living, all right? And sometimes it takes you places. Takes you overseas. It takes you all over places. And sometimes you got to be away because you got to earn.
Yeah, but I'm sure there are some players who have earned enough already where they wouldn't. They're like, nah, I don't want to go.
Well, then, you know what? Listen, I get it. You're Phillip Rivers and you got, you know, 40 kids and you want to be home and I laud you for it. Then you don't play. I mean, but why? But like, why should I feel guilty saying you should, if you want to play football, go to a bubble for 6 months? And it's not even 6 months. It could be 6 months if you win the Super Bowl.
Right.
Otherwise, it's like 5 months. But listen, I'll split the difference and say, look, 6 months, you got to be away. You know, guys got to do what they got to do.
Yeah, 6 months is a long time. 2 months in the NBA, and they're allowing families to come in after the first round.
Listen, I'm not saying it's easy.
Yeah, I know. I guess
I'm not saying that. But my only point is the rest of society has to make sacrifices to earn.
Yeah, but
and sometimes that means, you know, I got to go. I know people that are, what about people in the military? What about people who are earning, who have to be someplace, be at places?
No, you're right. But and there's guys like Lou Williams who couldn't make it 3 weeks without leaving to get some wings. Just the wings, not the strip club. Just the wings. 6 months? There's no way an NFL player would stay in the bubble for 6 months. Zero shot. I would say majority of the league would leave the bubble at some point if it was 6 months or 4 months.
All right. No, sometimes you got to do what you got to do to earn.
I understand that, but I'm sure, again, like if it's a rookie contract guy or a guy who maybe, you know, still trying to fight to have a career in the NFL, they're probably going to do it.
Yes.
Because that's their shot. But Carson Wentz, new baby kid, already signed the $100+ million contract. He goes, eh. All right, Nate, this is your shot. Enjoy the bubble.
Yes. Yes.
But Carson doesn't go. And then are we happy that Carson doesn't go to the bubble?
Listen, I would not begrudge anyone not to go to the bubble.
But if it turns away star players, then would you even want the bubble?
Yeah, if it's football or no football, yes.
So football or no football, but it's a lot of backups. You're still taking it.
Yes.
And then it kind of looks like the XFL, the product.
Well, I don't know. It's not going to look like the XFL because you have the XFL, you have three good players.
Right. I got that.
You'd still have credible NFL guys.
But if you take the backup quarterback in each team, is it really that great?
Listen, it's like pizza. Bad pizza is better than no pizza. Bad football is better than no football.
I had some bad Northeast pizza, man.
Okay, would you rather have bad pizza or no pizza at all?
I don't know. It's pretty bad up there.
Where?
In the Northeast.
It is bad in the Northeast. Northeast guy has bad pizza.
Yes, it does.
I will agree with you.
So I lived there for a couple of years. Never had a good slice of
pie.
There's
a couple truisms. The Northeast has bad pizza, and you can't get Chinese food in the suburbs.
Yes.
You got rotten pizza. Don't even try. Rotten pizza in that.
Yeah, no, it's not good. I was out there for 2 years. It's terrible.
Pizza in the Northeast. There's no, I'm sorry.
I'm sure there's probably one spot that everyone goes, oh, no, there's just one spot. All right, well, the spots near me, all terrible.
And you can't get decent Chinese food in the suburbs.
Yeah, you're right.
Not in Jersey.
I had a few spots.
There's no.
In my old hood?
No. I live in your old hood now, and it's horrible.
I remember you called me once. You were like, you drove like 30 minutes to try a different spot.
I drove to Chinatown when I first moved there. I drove all the way to Chinatown to get food.
Don't even come in here. It's not good. She's going to try to make her case. It's not good.
This is blasphemous. Decent. This is borderline blasphemous.
Blasphemous.
Blasphemous. Blasphemous. Blasphemous. This is me, Sister Franceline. It's blasphemous.
You don't know pizza. Come on.
What do you mean I don't know pizza?
I love you.
Have you ever had Charlie's on the Boulevard?
Stop with Charlie's. Get out.
Please.
Have nothing.
I have Charlie Brown's.
I would never go to the Northeast for pizza.
There's great pizza spots. Stop. Salerno's on Rising Sun Ave.
I've never been in any of them.
I tried two different places in the Northeast.
I refuse to go to the Northeast.
The crust was what you can get at your local ShopRite in the bag, and then they just put sauce on top.
This is horrible.
No, Northeast, no pizza.
Vincent?
It's always pizza. It's people that don't know pizza telling you it's good pizza. I'm sorry, now I love you to death. And I'll give you Steve Steaks. That's a fine steak.
I agree.
That's it? And that's blasphemous as well.
Northeast doesn't know pizza.
Yes, it does.
Come on.
We know pizza.
I'll give you steaks. I'll give you, make a good steak. Steve Steaks, good steak.
Have you had Charlie's?
Never.
I would say no.
Listen, I probably had pizza a handful of times because I have a friend of mine, the Muriello's, that live in the Northeast.
Okay.
And the pizza's horrible.
Well, where are they at?
I don't know. They're in the Northeast, the real Northeast.
There's a lot of neighborhoods in the Northeast.
I don't know. It's Mayfairs. I've been up in the Mayfair section.
In the Mayfairs.
And all the whatever, St. whatever, Paris in the Northeast. I forget them.
St. Matt's.
St. Matt's, yes. That's one of them.
Yes. I was in St. William.
But, during my travels, in 20 years of being a Philadelphia radio host, I've been all over the area. And the Northeast, I'm fond of the Northeast. There's some great bars in the Northeast. There's some great, again, I gave you the Steve Steaks, but come on with the pizza.
Blasphemous.
And it's just like the Chinese food in Jersey. Can't get good Chinese food in Jersey. You can't. And the pizza is, there's a couple spots I found that are pretty good.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
We're going to have to talk about that.
Yes. I got to ask you because I want to get to Josh, the traveling croupier, because there was a great story. We have the NFC Championship game coming up. And it's the last week of the playbacks. And I'm so excited we got today the championship game. Tomorrow is the Super Bowl. And so Josh's story surrounding the championship game is tremendous. It got featured on NBC.
Oh, did it really?
Yes. Yes. In fact, I may even send you the clip so you play it after. But I want to get Josh up here to talk about his story, the journey that he made for the NFC title game in 2017. Josh.
Yo, what's going on?
What's up, my brother?
Not much. Looking forward to this day. This will be, for many reasons, but my most memorable Eagles game ever.
So, you got to tell the story. It's an amazing story, and you got featured on NBC 10.
Yeah, so what happened was I was on my ship, and we were going through like an ownership change, so a lot of people kind of like left, and we had way too many crew in my department on the one ship, and they needed people to go to the other ship. Now, I was the longest tenured person there at my position. I was a supervisor at the time. And so I immediately said, oh, I'm not going. I'm comfortable here. This is my ship. And then I went to my cabin, and I looked to where the other ship was, and they were en route to Los Angeles. So I was like, wait a minute. This is Friday now, 2 days before the game. And I was like, all right, I'll go, because the other ship was coming from Hawaii, so it needed a few days to get to L.A.
All right.
So I was like, I'll go if I can stop in Philly. I didn't tell them why. I was just like, I need to stop home. And they were like, all right, if you can find it for under this amount for the company flight, whatever, if you go over, you pay, you owe the difference. No problem. All right, so now I'm in. But the hard part was trying to find a flight because I was going to be in a very, very small island called Reunion Island, just in the middle of the Pacific Ocean, outside, just off the coast of Madagascar. And I couldn't find a flight for the life of me.
God.
So finally, I go to our crew accountant, who's also the person in charge of visas and everything. He's like, it's going to be really difficult because you can't really go through Madagascar because there was some kind of like plague going on at the time.
Oh my God, really?
Yeah, there was something going on where like we were actually supposed to stop there and we couldn't because there was all this stuff going on. And so finally they were like, all right, listen, we found a flight, but we don't know if you're going to get to Philly in time. It'll get you to DC. And I'm like, okay, whatever. I'll rent a car. I'll go. It's not that far. Like, these people don't know how close, like, the Northeast is to everything, you know? So, long story short, I was like, all right, boom, let's go. So, I pack up all my stuff and I'm leaving the next morning. And it took me about 36 hours of flying. So, I went from Reunion Island to Madagascar to South Africa to Senegal to DC, where then I rented a car. And I got to my house and dropped off my stuff, and then I was in the parking lot tailgating by the time the Jaguars and Patriots kicked off.
Wow! Are you gotta be, what a journey!
So
from Reunion Island to Madagascar to Senegal?
To South Africa.
Wait,
to Senegal.
To South Africa, Johannesburg.
Yep.
To Senegal. Oh my God.
And I was just taking these little like 5-10 second clips on my phone throughout the whole 36 hours. And I put it together after the Eagles game. And then I woke up and I posted it the next morning. And at the time, you know, this is 2017, a guy that I went to high school with, he does this little radio blog, A2D Radio. And he picked it up and he put it online. And it kind of just blew up. And then the NBC got a hold of me, and they came to my house and interviewed me. And it was really cool.
That is wild.
Yeah.
I mean, what a journey. That's one of the great journeys. Oh, my God.
I was going to, like, surprise all my friends, just, like, show up at the tailgate, you know. But I needed to get tickets, and StubHub was just ridiculous, you know. So I was like, all right, I got to tell my sister because my sister – knew somebody that was selling them, so we got the tickets for a pretty fair price, and I wound up, you know, I took my sister, so it was incredible. It was so cool.
That journey is one of the great. That's a great story. Can I ask you real quick? Did you spend any time in Madagascar? Ever. Have you ever spent any time in Madagascar?
Unfortunately, I haven't because when we were supposed to go there. That whole thing happened, and it hasn't been on the itinerary since. But my manager went there on his own, and this guy is so good with his photography and stuff. I'll have to, like, show you some pics. He spent a week there by himself with a guide, and it's, oh, man, bucket list.
That sounds incredible, man.
Yeah.
I love hearing about your excursions. But that's one of the greatest moments ever. And I'm sure, you know, the Vikings go down and score early.
Oh, my goodness. I was ready to go home and go to bed. But, you know, real quick, you know what really made me mad about that? The whole thing is, so afterwards, they had this, like, contest, like, who's the greatest Eagles fan or whatever, you know? And I sent in that video, and I wasn't expecting to win, but I thought I had a good shot, you know? And the guy who won, an NFL network did a feature on him, was the drunk guy who ran into the pole at the train station after the game.
No. Are you serious?
I'm like, oh, come on. I can understand if somebody won, but that guy, I mean, you know, whatever.
Oh, my God. Oh, that's horrible. I vote for you, Josh.
My man.
You're
I'm looking
best.
Forward to listening to the playback again.
Thanks, buddy. We appreciate it. Take it easy, man. Andrew, could you imagine?
No.
Right?
No. I'm very stressed out when I travel. I'm not really good at it.
What do you mean?
Like, I get stressed. Like, he took like 8 different planes. Right? Like, I can't do that. I got stressed out. Remember I booked an extra night in South Carolina?
Yeah.
Because I gave up my seat. Because I got decent money in return for my ticket. which actually paid off my honeymoon flight. Me and my wife both gave up our tickets, or fiance at the time, and we got enough money back to pay off our honeymoon flights, which was fantastic. But just that, needing to find a hotel for one extra night and then needing to find a plane the next day, I was freaking out.
Wow.
And I'm a very relaxed person when it comes to a lot of situations. But when it came to that, I was like, dude, I'm never doing this again. It paid off my entire honeymoon flight. I probably would never do it again.
I've done that. I love it. I do. I love airports. I can sit in planes. I'm good with that. I can have no travel. I've gone places without reservations. So I kind of like it. All right. Coming up is what you waited for. That's right. The jewel of today. Eagles, Vikings, NFC Championship Game 2017. We got two more playbacks left. Hopefully. It's Cuz Radio with Tunis. Right here, 97.5 The Fanatic. Let's talk a little bit about Parks Casino. I'm going to be there tonight. The return of Cuz's Corner. So looking forward to it. Cuz's Corner tonight from Parks Casino and Sportsbook. Street Road, Ben Salem. And we have the return of the NBA. We'll be talking a lot of basketball tonight. A lot of hoops. A lot will go through over all the wagering. But listen to this. Oh, Andrew, you got to hear this. The Parks app is great. Right, so you just go and download the Home Team 444 Parks Sportsbook app. I'm looking at the futures for the NBA and to win. So the Lakers are the favorite, along with the Bucks. They're co-favorites at +250. The Clippers at +333. Houston, Raptors. The Raptors are +18. The Rockets are +14. These are 14-1. The Celtics and the Sixers, 20-1, Andrew. 20-1.
Interesting.
Yeah, man, that's more than interesting. Check it out. Parks Casino, Street Road, Ben Salem. Download the app. Man, you got it. Use code FANATIC. You get a free $500 wager. And that's in your account as a... It's a risk-free bet, so if it'll be a loss, it'll show up in your account. It's tremendous. 2+20-1. Sixers to win it all. Go to parkscasino.com and make sure you use that promo code FANATIC. See the website for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Got to be in Pennsylvania.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
The Fanatic.
All right. So we knew that.
Here.
I got to give you an update before we go straight to our NFL playback. But I got to hit you with this. So we knew that an away member of the clubhouse crew at Citizens Bank Park tested positive for COVID-19. Well, we just learned that one of the clubbies in the home clubhouse has tested positive.
Yeah, and Matt Breen mentions that all activity at Citizens Bank Park has been canceled today and until further notice. Now, what does that mean for Saturday when you're the away team but hosting the Blue Jays because the Blue Jays field isn't ready?
Yeah, Andrew, I don't know. I mean, if now you get a positive test, now you got to hold your breath for the rest of the squad. You still got a couple days for the incubation period. It's scary. So we'll keep you posted if anything comes out of that. And as far as the restart of the Philly season, Yeah, his thing. I don't know. All right, let's go back to a time when we had no worries on the pandemic. All we had was hope in Philadelphia. Let us go back to Sunday, January 21st, 2018, 6:40 p.m., nightfall across the Delaware Valley, the NFC Championship game. Joe Buck, Troy Aikman on the call. It's a Fox game. Wow, what an amazing day. Eagles off the miracle win against the Falcons. Vikings off the miracle win against the Saints. They clash. Lincoln Financial Field. Here's Chris Myers giving some pregame report from the sideline.
It is the 21st of January 2018, and it's 45 degrees in Philadelphia. Wind not a factor. Let's go down to the field and check in with Chris Myers. And Joe, the weather won't be an issue, but the field could be. The middle part of this field was re-signed this week after the Falcons were seen slipping to defeat here last weekend. Mike Zimmer showed the Viking players video of that, said get the right shoes, be able to adjust. He's most concerned late in the game outside the numbers when footing could be treacherous if you're not prepared for it. Doug Peterson saying his team is feeding off the underdog role at home. And then there's this note, indoor teams playing outdoors on the road in conference championship games in the history of the NFL, they've never won. A combined record, 0-12. Chris, thanks. Mike Zimmer was the first guy out here checking the footing earlier today. The way we go. NFC Championship game underway. The Eagles won the toss. They deferred, so it's Minnesota's ball, and that means that Case Keenum, fresh off that crazy 61-yarder to Stephon Diggs, which got him over 300 yards passing in that divisional game against the Saints, walks out there to start his night.
Wow. I got chills thinking about it. You remember, the game did not start out well. Vikings go right down the field. Listen.
This is a very good, I don't want to say underrated, defense for the Eagles, and they're opportunistic. They had 31 takeaways during the regular season, fourth most in the league. Play clock at 3. On first down, out of the backfield, Murray. And Latavius Murray is out of bounds with close to another first down after going around Malcolm Jenkins. And they're going to give him 11. Play action from Keenum. Well protected. Slings it. Pass is caught by Thielen. And this good drive continues to the 39 of Philadelphia. An 11-yard completion from Keenum. Well, we know Jim Schwartz, the defensive coordinator for the Eagles, he does not want to have to bring pressure. He wants to get to the quarterback with a four-man rush. And if the Vikings can block this defensive front the way they did on that play, Keenum's going to have a lot of time to be able to throw to two wide receivers that have been outstanding this year.
Handoff is to McKinnon. And Jarrett McKinnon with a little bounce to the edge. They're going to mark him out of bounds with 10 yards. Already 4 first downs for Minnesota. Second down and 6. This one floated for Rudolph. Touchdown. What a start.
Oh, how nervous. Take me into your living room, Andrew.
I had a couple people over for that game, and we were kind of just like, oh, my God. So the Eagles defer. Here you go, Vikings. Show us what you got. Bang, bang, bang. 9 plays. All went positive yards. There was no stop. There was no 4 first downs, as Joe Buck just mentioned. Yeah, I wasn't feeling good.
And remember, we were worried about the offense, not the defense.
Right.
Vikings made it look easy going down field. Eagles, their first possession. Third down. Foles looking. He spies Trey Burton. Take a listen.
It's third down and 4. Foles out to his right. Wide open, but out of bounds is Trey Burton.
I mean, he was left all alone and could not get both feet down. It's incomplete. I'm not sure why he jumps. At the end of this play, the ball is, it's a great throw. Just run through the catch and drag your feet. Who actually stepped in at times this year when Zach Ertz was injured and played great. He really did a nice job at the start against the Rams, but boy, a well-thrown ball, a nice job by Foles, and I'm not sure why Burton was leaving his feet off the ground.
Ah, come on, Trey! So now the Vikings up 7-0, quickly get the ball back. And, you know, Eagles... got to get a stop here. And what happens is the play that we believe turned the whole thing around. Vikings were on the move when it happened. Take a listen.
Four men on the rush. Keenan throws. He's picked. Patrick Robinson back the other way. Looking for a block. Gets it. Robinson. Touchdown! We're going to see Chris Long, defensive end. He's going to come off the edge, and he's able to get around Hill, and he gets Keenum's arm, it looked like, because the ball sure came out funny. It's a 50-yard return by Robinson, who had a career-high 4 interceptions this season. And the Minnesota Vikings have just given up 7 points off the turnover.
Wow, that was huge, huge play. Patrick Robinson, Andrew! Not for nothing, Joe Buck is awesome.
Yeah.
Picked.
Yeah.
Can he get a block? Ah, that gets me crazy. Game now tied at 7. Vikings go right back down the field. They get to... just inside Eagle territory. It's 3rd down. Big, big stop needed.
Now 3rd down and 6. Jim Schwartz does not bring pressure often. More pressure. Pass is caught. Diggs finally brought to the ground with a gain of 1. It's 4th down. Malcolm Jenkins there for the stop. It took a moment to get Stephon Diggs down, but he finally went down to force the punt. This Malcolm Jenkins is a heck of a football player.
Wow.
I agree.
Yeah, big play there from Malcolm. Because he doesn't make that tackle. That's a 1st down Vikings. Instead, Eagles get the ball back. Now, before this big 3rd down play, listen to Joe Buck run through the list of Eagle players lost to injury.
And the injuries this season, and there have been some big ones. They lost their kicker after week 1, Darren Sproles in week 3, their top special team player, Chris Maragos, 9-time Pro Bowler in Jason Peters. They lost their middle linebacker in Jordan Hicks, another one in Joe Walker. Oh, and by the way, they lost him. The tremendous second-year quarterback, Carson Wentz, on the 10th of December in L.A. So Foles is a quarterback on 3rd and 10. Over the middle, pass caught. That's Ertz. Ertz, 1st down. Carson Wentz called Zach Ertz's security blanket. And Foles finds him here for 11.
Big 1st down. And that's going to set up the drive. Eagles get down to the Vikes 11. And here's the play to one of the unsung heroes of the whole run. LeGarrette Blount.
1st down from the 11. LeGarrette Blount. Touchdown. Just pulled his way in. Brandon Brooks, their right guard. He's an outstanding player. And he makes a key block. Then it's 1-on-1. It's Blount and Sendejo in the hole. 1-on-1. Who's going to win that? And there's your answer. LeGarrette Blount runs right through. For Blount, his 10th career playoff game, his 10th rushing touchdown.
Wow.
That's pretty impressive.
It really was.
It's a good career out of Blount.
Incredible. Andrew Sendejo, who was, became an Eagle.
He stunk.
Yeah. Here's an underrated moment from the game. You ready? The Eagles are up 14-7. The Vikes now in the red zone. Now, this is a big deal. Vikings look trying to tie the game. Keenum back to pass. Derek Barnett off the edge. Take a listen.
See right now whether Jim Schwartz wants to dial something up. See if he can't create some type of negative play. And they bring pressure again. Ball is out. Recovered by Philadelphia. Knocked out by Derek Barnett. Protection earlier. Dave Morgan is going to come across and try to seal Derek Barnett, and it's just not much of a match. I mean, he gets there a little bit late. It creates the edge for Barnett to get there. The rookie from Tennessee, first-round pick, and what a great defensive play, and they needed it by this Jim Schwartz coach defense.
They did. That was a huge play, a monster play by Barnett, because, you know, again, Vikings could seize momentum, tie the game. Instead, Eagles have the ball just under 4 minutes left in the first half. They get to their own 47-yard line. Foles, this is where the magic began.
You know, Mike Zimmer, again, got him into third down. This is where he's really good, and he does a lot of different things out of this third and long situation, and one of them is hug up these linebackers. Xavier Rhodes on the bench, not out there on third down and 10. And Foles able to get away and throw. Pass is caught. Jeffrey, touchdown. You're going to see the pressure, first of all, by Everson Griffin. Normally a quarterback holds the ball this long. You are not going to get the ball down the field. And there's a double move on Terrence Newman. Alshon Jeffrey, he runs the square in and go, and Foles sees it kind of late and is able to get it out to him.
I don't know how Foles was able to get away from the pressure. Griffin was there, got a hand on him, couldn't bring him down, and it's a 53-yard touchdown pass on third and 10.
How about it? 53-yard touchdown on third and 10. This game's amazing. The Eagles are up 21-7. They could easily be down in the game. The Vikings are going, what? What happened? There's just over a minute left before halftime. And the Vikings, shell-shocked, can't do anything. They're forced to punt. The Eagles have 30 seconds and three timeouts. Would Doug take a knee? Nope. Listen.
29 seconds left. Three timeouts for the Eagles. We received the second half kickoff on top of all this. Looked like a lateral to a Giant. First down. Still no Xavier Rhodes out there. On first down, the pass is wide open to Ertz. And Foles couldn't be playing any better. 36 yards to Zach Ertz, and they're into field goal range. Sendejo is not out there for Minnesota. Here's a Giant with blocking. Inches inside the 20. And with 4 seconds left, the Eagles take a timeout. Elliott drills it. What a half for the Eagles here at home. They lead by 17. Back after this from your local Fox station.
24-7 Birds at halftime. How about it? Now, you heard Joe Buck say the Eagles get the ball to start the second half. And it was amazing, right? We're like, oh, my God, they're up 24-7. We're going to the Super Bowl. Right? Well, after this next play, there was no doubt. Torrey Smith, welcome.
I'll tell you, Doug Peterson really doing a nice job again tonight and has all year. And just his second season, second full season of calling plays. He's been one step ahead of Mike Zimmer all night. The Eagles are 6-for-8 on third down. Flea flicker. Foles launches downfield. Smith
Harrison Smith gets there.
Foles dropping dimes. Nicky Six. Saint Nick. BDN. Whatever you want to call them. It's 31-7 Birds. Vikings then actually get into the red zone on the next drive. It's fourth down. And to thwart any comeback, this would happen.
We'll see what Mike Zimmer wants to do. It's fourth and goal. His team down by 24. The offense stays out there. You're going to hear some noise now. Keenum, end zone. Pass is caught by Thielen. Unbelievable touchdown.
I would say no.
Off his hands and then caught it flat on his back.
Well, let's see if he did catch it. This was a juggling act.
This ball bounce right there. Ruling on the field is touchdown, but that will not stand up.
The ball did hit the ground. The pass was incomplete. The ball goes over the bounds to Philadelphia at the 8-yard line. First down.
Chills, baby. Chills. Nick Foles with the ball back in his hands. 3rd and 5. And who does he find? The little lamb. Take a listen.
Hey, right now, they are playing awfully well against this Minnesota Vikings defense. This is keep one. This is a home 3-point underdog. The Eagles leading by 24. Aguilar inside the 40, out of bounds at the 35, and another completion from number 9.
So we came into this game talking about Nick Foles, and he had had one completion since he took over as a starter that he threw the ball over 20 yards. Today, he's got 3 or 4, and they have had big plays throughout this game.
Amazing, amazing, amazing. A few plays later, Eagles get to the Minnesota 5. It's 3rd down. Foles can't be stopped.
Both these quarterbacks came into this game with a chance to change the narrative of their careers, and Nick Foles has seized the opportunity.
On 3rd down and goal, Foles surveys, fires, touchdown, Alshon Jeffrey.
So we saw Xavier Rhodes is going to be on Alshon Jeffrey in man coverage, but they were in zone, so Trey Waynes is on him, and he gets inside of Waynes, and Foles gives him a ball up high. Jeffrey, with his size, able to make the catch.
38-7. Let's do a little party. Have a little party. Case Keenum back to pass. Here's what happens.
I always feel like you have to have a backup that know can deliver. That doesn't mean they always have to be a veteran if you have really have confidence in a young guy, but great moves having these veteran backups.
Keenum throws. Darby broke it up. It's picked. Intercepted by Corey Graham.
Yes.
And the defensive dominance by the Eagles continues. Turnover number 3.
And now it's time just to kneel down. Doug sends out Nate Sudfeld to do it. Here's how it sounded as the game came to an end. And let's listen to Saint Nick being interviewed as he walks off the field.
There is Nick Foles, the hero of the night for Philadelphia. Literally could not have played any better. Let's go down to Chris Myers. Chris,
thanks, Joe. I'm with Nick Foles. And you just got a hug from Case Keenum, your former teammate, who said there's nobody who deserves this more than you.
This is all glory belongs to God. In this moment, it's unbelievable. It's humbling talking to Case. That's one of my great friends. I'm so proud of him for the year he's had, what he's done. I mean, it shows what kind of player he is, what kind of person. And for us to come out here today, fans were amazing. Team was amazing. I'm sort of young comedy right now. I'm a little speechless right now. It's unbelievable soaking it all in.
It's all right, Nick. You know, 300.
Wow, there it was, the playback. What a tremendous. Let's talk about it, man. I after hearing these games, there was something bigger at play. Divine intervention. He's got to make you believe in something.
Hey, how's everyone doing?
It's Cuz Radio with Shunis. Let me tell you about, that's right, LaBruciano.
Anthony.
That's it. You got a problem with your roof? Don't worry. If the roof is on fire, or if there's something wrong with it, don't fret. Because Anthony LaBruciano is the roof genius, the master. That's it. He's going to personally assess the damage himself. And I call him the shingle master. Well, that's what he is. He's not a salesman. He's the owner of a successful business whose name is behind every roof he repairs. So if you just need a repair, Anthony's going to fix it right. And if you need a new one, an entire new roof, just rest assured you're dealing with the best. LaBruciano Roofing. As soon as you meet him, you're going to realize, oh, man, Anthony's got hundreds of five-star Google reviews. I get it. That's right. LaBruciano Roofing, a CertainTeed five-star select shingle master, which means he can offer the best warranty in the business. 50 years from the manufacturer, 25 years in the workmanship. Your home's roof is too important to trust some jack-of-all-trades guy. Go to your only roofing expert I recommend, LaBruciano Roofing. Call 610-265-ROOF or go to paroofpros.com. That's paroofpros, P-R-O-S.com. LaBruciano Roofing, the master.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.